I'm going to use Blackboard because I didn't have enough time to prepare slides. I hope it's okay. So I will talk about propositional logic and about proving lower bounds in propositional logic. So why are we interested in proving lower bounds in propositional logic? This is because this is related to computational complexity, and it's a really challenging task, because to prove lower bounds in say predicate logic is not difficult, because it has expressive power such that we, given a formula, can talk about entities which are much larger, and therefore we can use diagonalization. In propositional calculus, this is not possible, because in most cases, of course, there are some special types of propositional calculi, but in most cases, the formula cannot express anything about objects that are as large as the formula or larger, and therefore diagonalization doesn't work. So it's a more combinatorial question. Now, I'm going to say something about results in intuitionistic logic and in certain model logics. But first I would like to explain why are we interested in such results. Well, the simple answer is that we cannot prove such results for the classical propositional calculus, and therefore we try other systems. The longer answer is that I will now explain that we somehow are naturally led to ask such questions, and in particular there are non-classical logics, in particular intuitionistic logic, that that has some computational content in contrast with classical logic, and therefore we can make connections between computations and proofs, and once we have these connections, then we are more likely to prove some lower bounds. So I will mention some basic concepts. The main concept that I need is the concept of a Frege calculus. Now, suppose we have a logic, suppose we now we just take the classical logic, and then we can formalize it in various ways, but the most natural way to formalize it is to take a finite set of axioms, which we interpret as schemes, that we can use any instance of the scheme, and then a finite set of deduction rules, such as modus ponens. Only one warning is that often people assume that you can use also the substitution rule. When you prove a proposition, then you can substitute formulas for variables. So this is not allowed in Frege system. Well, I should rather call it Frege system. So we have to be consistent. This is denoted by F, and then we can have a Frege system with substitution. Sorry. So usually substitution Frege, which we denote by SF, and this seems to be a bit stronger, in the sense that perhaps some tautologies may have shorter proofs. So this is just an example of a system that is stronger, that is different from Frege system. But I will focus completely on Frege systems. Now, so what has been done about lower bounds? So we don't have any lower bounds for Frege systems. All these Frege systems are equivalent in the sense that they have up to polynomial the same length of proofs, In fact, a stronger thing is true that if you have two Frege systems for the classical propositional logic, then you can polynomially simulate one by the other one. This means precisely that there is a polynomial. Okay, let me see. Polynomially simulates U means that if I get a tautology and a proof in Q, then there is a polynomial time algorithm that finds a proof in P of the same tautology. So in particular, the proof cannot be more than polynomially longer. So therefore, the question is a general question whether how to prove lower bound for Frege systems. As we are not able to do that, there are many results concerning weaker systems, in particular, maybe in a sense the strongest result in this direction are exponential Lower bounds for bounded depth Frege systems. So this has been mentioned already last week. You just consider formulas that that have constant number of alternations between conjunctions and disjunctions. So for this special class, for this special type of proofs, we can show that certain tautologies must have exponentially large proofs. Now, the question is, maybe we can find other restriction, not bounded depth restriction. And one natural restriction is that is the following. These lower bounds are based on certain method of random restriction in computational complexity, and there is another method which works for monotone circuits. So the question that I asked myself was, is there anything like monotone version of Frege systems? And perhaps we can prove lower bounds for that. Well, it turns out that there is a natural system which is sometimes called geometric logic. And this is a subsystem of classical logic where you consider implications A implies B, where A and B are positive in the sense that they use only conjunctions and disjunctions. Now, we cannot use only positive tautologies because they are trivial. They must be just constant or empty. But in this way, you can write many interesting tautologies. So it's natural to ask about lower bounds to this.
But you don't have constant forms.
I think we can allow this constant, but it wouldn't change the picture because you have conjunction disjunction. So if you put it in conjunction with something, then
If you allow force on the right, you get negation.
That's right. Yes. So I don't allow. Okay. So this is a subclass of in this form subclass of tautologies. Why it is called geometric? The reason is that in geometry. The typical statement is of this kind. You don't use negative statements. You always say if the line meets these points, then something happens, but again, something positive. elementary geometry, you don't have statement if the line does not meet the point, so you cannot derive anything interesting from that. But it's just, but it has also some other applications, this logic. Now it turns out that
how about two parallel lines don't intersect?
Yes, I know. It turns out that this is so. Okay, so we can ask the following question: suppose you have such a monotone tautology, and suppose you allow only monotone proofs of this tautology. Can you get shorter proofs by using non-monotone, so to find the difference between monotone and non-monotone? But it turns out that you cannot gain very much. So we still don't know exactly, but we know that any non-monotone proof of this can be simulated by quasi-polynomial monotone proof, and we suspect very much that that this can be done polynomially. But what's interesting about this logic is that in fact all these tautologies are also intuitionistic tautologies. So we can naturally ask, okay, so why don't we just ask about intuitionistic proofs? Now, not only that these are intuitionistic tautologies, but if you take Frege system for intuitionistic logic, then you get exactly the same power as you, if you get these monotone formulas. So this is the sort of natural way how to arrive to intuitionistic logic. Now let me, I suppose...
Yes. Initial logic validity is p-space complete, right?
Yes.
So can you think of it as a program to separate NP from p-space? I mean, if you right, if you prove it for all proof system,
yes,
then
yes.
You've separated NP from p-space.
Yes, yes. But so far we are not able to prove our bounds even for the Frege system for intuitionistic logic. So this program is still open. Now, I suppose everybody knows intuitionistic logic, so I don't have to explain.
Don't suppose.
Sorry?
Don't suppose.
No.
No, I'm serious. There are students here, you cannot suppose that.
You don't know?
I don't.
Okay, so I say a few words. I was going to say it anyway. Intuitionistic logic cannot be formalized using truth values, but it can be, it has a cryptic semantics like other, like model logic. So it can be defined using cryptic semantics, it can be defined using other semantics like Hating algebras, but it can also be introduced simply by, simply syntactically by essentially taking a suitable set of axioms and removing the axiom that says that double negation implies the formula. So you can think of it, if you don't know about it, you can think of it as a weakening of classical logic where some special things do not hold, such as this. What I only need one property that will be crucial in this talk is the disjunction property. So if in intuitionistic logic you prove A or B, then this is only possible if in fact you are able to prove A or you are able to prove B. And this is called the disjunction property. So this is maybe one more thing that I can mention in case of prepositional. I will stress it again, but I'm assuming in the whole lecture that I use only prepositional logic. If you prove classically some proposition, then you can prove double negation in intuitionistic logic. So this shows that in some sense it's the classical logic can be embedded also in intuitionistic logic. So now in natural next step is to consider model logics, because there is a particular model logic called S4. I will explain what it is. In which you can interpret intuitionistic logic, propositional intuitionistic logic. So we can think of intuitionistic logic being just a subsystem of S4. And then again we can ask, can we prove lower bounds for such a system if we are not able to prove it for intuitionistic logic?
One advantage you have for model logic is that we can prove that the existence of lower bounds on size of models.
Right.
Can we take advantage of that? I mean, normally we think of it as lower bound for satisfiability, but can we take advantage of it in
yes, validity? We try to think in this direction and try to take definitions of complicated exponential size models, but this didn't work. So maybe you can use this, but I don't see any immediate way how to do it. But of course, there is this advantage. There is the advantage that it's p-space complete, so it seems more likely that you should be able to separate, and so on. Okay, so let me say a few words about model logics. So there is a huge variety of model logics, but I will mention only some. So we have this modality operator, which is called necessary, which is right, A hold necessary A, or A hold necessarily. It can be also interpreted in various other ways, like A is provable, so there is provability logic and other interpretations. The basic system that we need is we need modus ponens and we need generalizations. So if we derive phi, then you can derive necessarily phi. So this is a sort of minimum that we would require. And then we can add more axioms. So let me write some of these axioms. So K is the axiom which shows that you can sort of distribute necessity over implication. And then we have this axiom, which is simply denoted 4. And as an example of something more complicated, let me write down Gödel-Lepp axiom, So the interpretation of this axiom is in probability logic, where you interpret this being provable. And what Lev's theorem says that if you are able to derive from probability of formula phi, formula phi itself, with that it's true, then this is only possible in case you actually can prove this formula.
Usually k is written in different ways. It's equivalent. Usually k is written box phi, n box phi, arrow psi.
And one more axiom, which is now you probably know in Kripke many worlds semantics of this, and in this semantics you have alternative sort of you have object that you call alternative worlds and a relation between them, and you can characterize these systems by characterizing by stating axioms on this relation. So this means transitivity of relation, this means reflexivity of the relation. Now one thing that I would like to mention is that in most these logics we have also this kind of disjunction property, but of course not for all formulas, because unlike intuitionistic logic, model logics contain classical logic, so you cannot say that it has disjunction property, because classical logic it has disjunction property. But they have this property if you prove box A or box B, then either you must be able to prove this or B. So for both formulas you have this disjunction property. Now another comment concerning intuitionistic logic and model logic is that the theorem that I mentioned about Frege systems also holds for these logics, or for most of these logics, but it's much less trivial. So this theorem, if you take classical logic and you would like to show that every two systems can simulate each other in polynomial time, if they use the same language, then it is a trivial statement, because you just need to simulate each rule, and because you have deduction theorem, then of course this rule can be interpreted as implication and must be provable, and therefore you can replace it by finitely many steps in another system. So for classical logic this is trivial, but for intuitionistic logic and model logic, this is a non-trivial thing. And the reason is that in these systems, we don't have the deduction theorem, which means that there are certain rules that are admissible, but the corresponding implication is not a tautology. So let me give an example, which is a rule called Kreisel-Putnam rule, and this is the rule
just the rule what you wrote MP there, right? That's enough.
Sorry?
What you wrote MP, which is usually called not MP but necessitation, by itself, right? That has this property. Then.
So what I meant was NP and generalization.
Generalization, yeah. Generalization already has this property, right? You don't have that phi. Phi implies box phi.
Well, we don't have. No. Well, then it's everything would become trivial if we had this. It would become trivial with this axiom, which we quite often accept. So this rule is is the following one. So this is an admissible rule. So whenever you can derive this, you can derive also this. But it's not true that implication, where you take this as the antecedent and this as a consequent, is tautology. This is not a tautology. And why this is an admissible rule? The reason is that a negation of a formula is a Harrop formula. This is a certain class of formulas for which we have the disjunction property, in the sense that in the disjunction property we did not assume any assumption, but you can assume something, certain formulas. So if this is provable, then one of these two things is provable. But of course, if one of these two things is provable, then the disjunction is provable. So this is the reason. It's essentially a generalization of the disjunction property. Now, if you want to show that all these systems are polynomially equivalent, then you must show that in the system that you consider, in particular proof system, such a rule must have a short proof, in the sense that when you prove this, then you can quickly derive, using short proof, derive also this. So let me say about the results in this. The first who proved this was proved by Ryetnikov and Mintz, and for large class of model logic. This was proved by Jarvet.
You have to do it model logic by model logic, or there is a way you do it generally?
Excuse me?
So model logic, of course, it's a whole family. So does it require proof for K and for S4 and for S5 separately? Which one separately you have to do it?
This is not done, of course, separately, but you show a sort of meta theorem that if the logic satisfies certain properties. Then you can. You can do it. Yes. I should have said also a bit more about model logics. Now, when we combine these axioms, we get some particular systems. I mentioned already S4. So K4 means that we take axiom K and axiom 4, and S4 is that we add also this axiom T. So these are certain systems that have nice properties. In particular, S4 can interpret intuitionistic logic. So now let me say something about uh, method for Laurent method of proving Laurent bounds. This is called feasible interpolation, or we say that there will be a feasible interpolation property of a proof system. And this method was invented by Jan Krajíček. Now, what is interpolation? Theorem creates interpolation. Theorem is the theorem that says that if this is provable, and by writing this I assume that these are vectors of variables, and variables y and z are distinct, so these sets of variables are disjoint. So this implies that there is a formula, say chi x, which interpolates in the usual sense. Now we can rewrite it in a more symmetric way by taking instead disjunction, so let's rename it as alpha or beta. And then we can say that there exists, say, gamma x such that gamma x implies alpha x y and non gamma x implies x y. So if we write it in this way, then we see that we have two possibilities, and this formula gamma decides which of these two possibilities sort of should hold. What I mean is that if you actually take as an concrete valuation for x's, and you substitute this for x, then you can evaluate this formula, and what you get is that either this is a tautology, or this is a tautology. Because if you evaluate it, you get one of these two true, so you can remove it and you get that the other thing is a tautology. Now, this can be viewed as a kind of procedure or algorithm to decide these two things using an input. So what Jan proposed was to relate the complexity of this formula gamma to the length of proof of this disjunction. And it turns out that it's better to use circuits instead of formulas. So we say that the proof system has feasible interpolation property, if given proof pi of can construct in polynomial time circuit CX such that for all inputs implies that and C So this is.
May I ask what is what does it mean polynomial size circuit of polynomial times?
Then construct in polynomial time. So there is a polynomial time algorithm that constructs a circuit, and because it's constructed in polynomial time, then the circuit is of polynomial size. So if we are interested only in the say size of the proofs, we can ignore the fact that this is a constructive way. We can just focus on the fact that the circuit is of polynomial size. Now, it turns out that you can actually prove this property for some systems, and particular was shown for resolution, then for some other systems, several other systems. But not only that, one can also prove something that enables us to prove lower bounds without any assumptions about complexity theory. Because in order to use this theorem, you would need lower bounds on the size of circuits. And we are not able to prove lower bounds on the size of circuits. So this theorem cannot be used directly. Therefore, there is another property, monotone interpolation property, which is essentially the same property as I have written there, but the modification is that assume is a monotone formula. So say it uses only conjunctions and disjunctions, then we have the same conclusion, and C is a monotone circuit. Uses only these connectors. Now, one of the famous results in complexity theory is the result by Razborov, who showed exponential lower bounds on monotone circuits. And this actually can be used to show exponential lower bounds on resolution. Of course, the bounds for resolution were obtained independently by a different method, but for some other systems, the only way to show lower bounds is to use monotone interpolation property. And I want to mention this also is the case of K4 and S4. Okay, so let me state
I have an absolutely serious comment. This property, I think it's called reduction, usually. So now, because you pay attention to negation and you have quantum negations, I think this would be monotone reduction property. But as I said, it's a silly remark.
Right. The polarization is by negation, and then the monotonicity is.
Yes. Okay. So I'm not doing it very precisely because okay, in case of resolution, this works in this way. But now I'm going to, in a moment, to mention a different version of interpolation. So. But the principle is that assuming something about at least one of these formulas, then we can get this property that circuit is monotone, and then we are able to use this. So let me, because I don't have much time left, let me mention just two results. Feasible interpolation for intuitionistic. Logic. Now, with intuitionistic logic, one possible attempt was to use the original formulation of interpolation in the form of implication, which I just erased, but because of this relation with geometric logic, it turns out that that would imply interpolation for classical logic, and we have good reasons to believe that in classical logic feasible interpolation doesn't hold. Namely, based on certain principles, we are able to show that it does not hold.
So relative to, what do you mean? Relative to which proof system?
To Frege proof system. But there is a formulation of interpolation property which one can show in intuitionistic logic, and this is the following one. We have to take. Okay, so we want to. Conclude, say alpha xy or beta z, assuming, this is what now I'm this is what we would like to have as an assumption, and we would like to derive something. But in intuitionistic logic, we have the disjunction property. So this is provable if and only if one of these is provable. So we cannot say that for different inputs x, this would be tautology or this would be tautology. This would be trivially true for all inputs a, either for this or for inputs for this. So the only way how we can make some sense is of this is to add some assumptions which are not Harrod formulas. And what turns out to be the right choice, or which seems to be, is to use the laws of excluded middle. Let me write it in the form of formula. And this is the way how it should be stated in intuitionistic logic. Now, adding the law of excluded middle sort of looks like destroying intuitionistic logic, because if you add it for all propositional variables, then everything will be equivalent to classical formulas. But the point is that we are adding this only for the common variables here, and we can interpret this assumption as the assumption that somebody actually gave us the truth values. So if you say x1 or non-x1 in intuitionistic mathematics, then you mean that you know what is x1. And that was the point of feasible interpolation. If somebody gives us the truth values for axes, then we are able to decide one of these. So this is a natural way to state interpolation property. And one can prove, in fact, that intuitionistic logic, more precisely the Frege proof system for intuitionistic logic, has feasible interpolation property in the sense that if this is provable and we take substitution instances for axes, we can prove one of these two formulas. Let me just...
What do you get? You get a formula? What do you mean by feasible interpolation?
So what I mean is that...
You get a circuit?
That I get a circuit, and this circuit does what was written here.
Exactly. So this circuit is not just treated classically?
Yes, this can be treated classically. But if you wanted to... it's a circuit, so it's not a formula, so we are not talking about provability. It's just a computational problem. So it's the way to get a computational problem from the existence of a proof, to get a circuit and something computational from something which is syntactical. Now, I wanted to say more about the proof of this, but I don't have so much time. So let me mention that the crucial step is to prove what is called feasible disjunction property. And this feasible disjunction property is we say that a proof system has this feasible disjunction property if given proof of A or B, we can construct in polynomial time either proof of A or proof of B. So we know that these systems have the disjunction property, so if A or B is provable, in case of model logics, it must be box A or box B provable, then also one of these is provable. And we say that it's feasible if actually these proofs can be constructed. Now, this theorem was proved using the fact that intuitionistic logic has feasible disjunction property. This was proved this feasible disjunction property by Bass and Mintz. Now, in a similar fashion, we can derive from such a property a similar version of feasible interpolation for model systems. And this was done by first, it was done by some Italians. Fiorentini and I think Fiori. Yeah.
Lamborghini.
It's very similar as this, something like that. Sorry. Okay. So this was done by a rather complicated argument. Then it was it's a consequence of what Jeřábek proved, because he considers admissible rules in a more general sense, which includes also this junction property. So in all his in all the systems for which he proved that they have this property, for all model logic that they have the property that all Frege proof systems are equivalent. In particular, he also got this consequence. If the system has disjunction property, then it also must have feasible disjunction property. And then my student recently found a more direct proof of these disjunction properties for several model logics based on more on the original proof of Bass and Means. Now the last thing that I want to mention is, and I hope to be able to say more about the proof, but unfortunately there isn't much time left.
Fortunately or unfortunately?
Unfortunately. For K, K4, S4, formalized as Frege systems. And this is the result of my student, Rubesh. What he did was he proved a kind of feasible interpolation theorem, and I will state at least this theorem and then how it is applied. So
these are exponential lower bound for Frege systems?
Yes, but for these model logics. So unfortunately for model formulas, of course, if these formulas were not modeled.
Otherwise,
they
have p-space, right? All those logics.
Yeah, that would be
They are p-space, yes. But this is what he argues in his paper, is that it's maybe not important that they are p-space, because actually the type of formula that he considers belong to a fragment that is only np. So it's not clear how much it matters whether it is p-space or not. But
this is true also for many of the propositional lower bounds, right?
Yes.
The formulas that we actually consider are usually are easy.
Right.
Computationally.
Right. So let me state this theorem on which it is based. So let alpha, or rather, let me use gamma and z be classical formulas. And suppose
what kind of formula?
Classical.
Classical.
Classical. So no modalities. And suppose he is a proof of I will explain what this means. Yes. Okay, let me just say the simply. I wanted to say more about the proof, but I just state it as the usual monotone interpolation property. And one can construct in polynomial time or polynomial size monotone circuit that interpolates alpha and beta. I wanted to say to state more special theorem and then show how it is applied, but I would need more definitions and I run out of time, so let me just state it in this way. So the point is, I can say at least one thing about his approach is that the point is to choose a suitable form of these tautologies. What this means is that here you have a classical formula and you box all variables x's and then you
so
take...
So you just put the box in front of every occurrence of the variable?
Yes, in front of every occurrence of variable. And I forgot to say that this has to be also monotone. And then you put boxes here. So if you want to prove this, suppose this is classically true formula without boxes. If you want to prove it with boxes, then you sort of have to pull out the boxes outside, and which you of course can do, but these two formulas are distinct. So it's in a sort of the intuition is if you had monotone interpolant, which you can use instead of this, then you would need only so many steps as the interpolant is large to pull out the boxes in front of the formula. But if there is no such interpolant, then you need a lot of applications of certain rule to show this implication. And now he refers to lower bounds on monotone circuits and gets a lower bound on length of proofs in these particular systems.
Okay, specific system or the whole equivalent?
No, this works for each of these systems separately. Let's see. In fact, this is a subsystem case, a subsystem, so it doesn't make sense to write it this way. We can just say that it's a lower bound for S4 because S4 includes this. Right. I'm sorry, it's just a lower bound for S4. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Questions? So you said there was hope it would be easier to prove lower bounds for model logic because it is piecewise complete. But on the other hand, we have more powerful proof systems, right? So, I mean, it's not so clear to me why it would be easier. Is it easier to separate NP from piecewise than NP from coin? I don't have intuition that one is easier than the other.
Well, the reason is that theoretically it's easier to separate NP from P space than NP from co-NP.
One implies the other.
One implies the other.
NP from I said one implies the other.
If you separate NP from co-NP, then you separated NP from P space because P space is called Sander complement.
No, but I'm that's not what I said. It's NP versus P space versus NP versus co-NP. So
yeah, no. NP separating NP also from co-NP separates NP from P space.
Yeah. Yes, so, but this is of course a very weak argument.
I don't think that this analogy is quite sound. I think that what Moshe is saying is that you have a particular NP algorithm and you sort of run it against NP complete set, and then you run it against P space complete set, but you actually have a stronger algorithm because you have a stronger proof system, which can also use modal proofs. So it's not really about NP, but about two particular algorithms. So you have.
But I mean, the end result, in some sense, does say it was easier because now we have a law bound for Frege. But I don't fully. I mean, do you have an explanation why we succeeded here?
Well, because if you take model formulas, then of course this logic contains classical logic. So if you take classical formulas, then you can prove everything as in classical logic as fast as in the classical Frege system. But as soon as you add boxes, then you complicate your life. You will complicate your life because, for instance, we have this disjunction property, and in fact we have feasible disjunction property. If you prove the disjunction, then one of these has to have also short proof. So if you go to this larger class of formulas, then the system is not so effective anymore. So of course this gives you separation in the sense that if you leave out the boxes, then you have polynomial size proof. Well, of course you can use this to show separation, that without boxes this has short proof, but with boxes this formula has exponentially long proof.
There are some systems of moral logic which have interpolation, and have you considered the feasible interpolation in moral logic?
I did not study this variety of model logic, so what I was concentrated on was mainly intuitionistic logic and S4. So my students and Jerzy Abek looked at those logics more closely, and they know about quite a wide class where it holds, but I myself don't know very much.
Okay, thank you again.